7:39 on WGN on this Monday, January 11th. Good morning to y'all. It's John Hansen in for Bob Surratt. Bob and Marianne dealing with a family issue here today. I'll be with you till 9, until John Williams takes over from there. Normally, Bob talks to Scott Kleinberg on Tuesdays, but the news of the day is what's happening in social media. So, Scott, thanks for hopping on a day early with us. We appreciate it.
No problem at all, John. How's it going?
Oh, boy. If anyone turned off their phone and didn't pay attention all weekend, we have a lot of news on the social media front. It started Friday late afternoon, evening with Twitter banning President Trump. And Scott, first and foremost, this appears to be permanent, correct?
Yes. This is the end. This is not a suspension. This is the end of Donald Trump's Twitter presence. So it is a red letter day in the social media world, for sure.
And it didn't stop there. So other sites and followed suit quickly afterwards, with some are suspensions, some are bans. But even entire platforms now being taken off, essentially the internet. And Parler is the one that a lot of people are up in arms about. It's been a right-wing sort of Twitter, I guess that's the best way to say it, where they don't really monitor or bring down anyone's their messages. I don't know what they're called. They're not tweets. They're Parler updates. But slowly but surely, that was able to be downloaded, and now it's entirely down. Walk us through it.
It is, well, yes, it's entirely offline. So it was so first, Google Play, the Google Play store, took the app offline, so you couldn't download it. Then Apple did the same thing after Bolt told them that they had some time to fix their content moderation, which they didn't, because that's not what they do. Then the big thing that happened, you would think that that would be the biggest thing, Apple and Google, but the biggest thing that happened was Amazon, which actually hosts their website and gives them the ability to have the website exist and their content to exist. They took them offline. They first said that they would, you know, allow for them to fix their content moderation. They didn't. And as of 11:59 last night, it is completely offline. So now there is no Parler. It's just not available whatsoever. And first, the CEO said it would be back in a week. And then this morning, he said, no, it's going to be a lot longer than that, because now that Amazon and Apple and Google got involved, no one else wants to host them. And that's like the kiss of death in this kind of thing.
The ban of President Trump on Twitter, I think we all have talked about and we all saw coming in some way. I don't know. Obviously, it was moved a lot faster after what happened at the Capitol on Wednesday, and perhaps the president's role, as some people perceive it, in that. The banning or essential elimination of an entire app of conservative voices, that certainly has a lot of people concerned.
It does, because, you know, it's the conservative side saying, well, our free speech is being quashed. But, you know, it's these people who are saying, well, there's a lot of threats of violence on these sites. And that is the thing I think that really stands out. You know, we use content moderation, John, as like this overarching term. You know, it's like you have to make sure your contents are fair. And the conservatives are saying, well, we're being silenced. And it's not necessarily a matter of being fair. It's a matter of what is in these particular types of posts. And the thing is, these are threatening, dangerous posts. And that's the thing where there's this disconnect between what's allowed and what's not allowed. And that's where the big social platforms and Amazon, they had to take action, because if they didn't, it just wouldn't make sense. I mean, it's a safety issue.
Yeah, I hear from some conservative friends of mine that their argument is you do see threats sometimes on Twitter, foul language, and it often isn't necessarily removed quickly. What's the difference? But perhaps they saw too much in Parler. I don't know.
I think they're seeing too much. I think, well, and too much is an interesting way of putting it. That's all there really is on Parler, because all of the people who weren't able to say the things they wanted to say on Twitter and Facebook, they go to these alternate places, whether it's Parler or something else. And that's just the thing that's really a key here. Parler may be offline now. It's not going to take long for there to be something else. I wouldn't be surprised if in, you know, before the end of the day, there was something else where people are going to. That's just the way the nature of the social media world works.
Yeah, it's so fascinating, though, because you mentioned that an app can start and yeah, great. But it has to be housed somewhere, right? It has to have servers that back up the data. And as people put pressure on private companies to eliminate those avenues in which they can host their sites, host their apps, it does become a sticky question.
It becomes a very sticky question, and a lot of people really don't realize the difference between those things. You know, an app exists in on a platform, you know, in Google Play or in the Apple Store, but the hosting site that you're talking about, where the content actually exists, where the data actually exists, where those apps actually link to, that's the thing we're talking about here. And as what happened in this case with Parler, Amazon took them down. Google, Apple, Amazon. Think of three bigger names. I mean, yeah, obviously there's Twitter, there's Facebook, but those are the names. And when you don't want to be involved with those, people are like, well, wait a minute, why don't they want to be involved with you? Oh, I see what's happening here. Yeah, we can't be involved with you either. And that is what is happening across the board.
I don't have much sympathy for the president, knowing what the rules were that were set forth and his violations of them. And also people saying, well, how is he going to get his message out? I mean, for the next 9 days or so, 10 days, he literally has a press room in his house. Like, he can go 500 steps and talk to anybody he wants to talk to, and it will be distributed across the world. After that, you know, that's an interesting question about where we go from there. We had an interesting question from Elif, who's a John Williams producer. She texted me wanting to know, and it's a great question. Why isn't he just hopping on the POTUS account, the official White House Twitter account, and using that?
He tried to. He tried to the other day, almost immediately after the real Donald Trump account was taken down. And Twitter stopped the POTUS account. They started taking the tweets down from there. Because what Twitter said very, very clearly, this ban is not of an account. This ban is of the person. So it made sense. He actually jumped to the POTUS account. Then he jumped to another account. Then he jumped to a fourth account that nobody had even heard of. And Twitter was like, we're ready. You know, Twitter has lots of ways, you know, tech companies have ways to figure out where things are coming from, you know, so they knew right away who it was and they're able to stop it. Yes, it is an absolutely excellent question. But in this case, it is not about just stopping an account. It is stopping the voice of the person who is contributing to the account.
Wow. I didn't know that. I didn't know that that's exactly what the language meant, because I had heard that his campaign Twitter was shut down because he had tried to go on there or do it through. Can he have like a proxy? Like I advocate and I'm having this person as my representative talk for me?
You could probably do anything you want if you don't get caught doing it. That's the interesting thing. And if that becomes your job, where you're sitting there taking Donald Trump's tweets and putting it on a different platform, that's one heck of a job. Yeah,
I guess that would be a press secretary, which he has. So
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Scott Kleinberg, social media strategist, joining us, chatting about all things social media, especially after what's happened recently in the country. And Scott, you know, that's a lot of followers that President Trump had that obviously they no longer follow the president, and he'll never have a voice on Twitter again, it seems like. Is there worry amongst Twitter? I mean, I'm sure they had to take this into consideration, that his followers will exit en masse now that the president's not there.
You know, yes, I'm sure that is taken into account. But the one thing that a lot of people don't realize about social media followers is it's a vanity. It's a number. So here's the thing to consider. Before this ban, Donald Trump had 88 million followers on Twitter. 88 million. But there are, depending on the services that you use and the way you look into it, a large portion of those are not real people. They're bots, they're fake accounts, it's just not an actual person behind the account. And the one thing that Donald Trump, I think we can all agree on, really appreciate is vanity and just the fact that he has all of these people, you know, at his beck and call. So it looks like 88 million to him. It feels like 88 million to him, but it's not. So the thing is, how many people are actually going to drop off the site? Some, yes. And there'll be people who are not connected to those 88 million for sure. But we don't really know how many of those 88 million are real. But the thing is, sometimes those fake accounts are extremely dangerous because those fake accounts exist just to spread the stuff and the misinformation. So, you know, there's a lot of things that have to go into this. But yes, I think when Twitter actually goes ahead and reports how many followers it has, you know, in the coming months or year, however they do that, I think you will see the number go down because of this.
I have one ironic thing I found this weekend was a lot of people, including Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. He kind of tweeted a screen grab of conservative voices losing followers with some more liberal voices gaining followers. And he seemed to be pointed to some conspiracy that the big tech was going after. But what I find strange about it is for weeks now, and especially the last couple of days, many conservatives have been telling their followers to get off Twitter. Perhaps that's why they lost followers. They just don't exist anymore.
Yes, yes, that has a lot to do with it. And yeah, no, I mean, there was no situation where, you know, all of these followers dropped off and all of these other people got followers. But, you know, in some cases, if, and this is a very big if someone's account dropped down a large amount of numbers, that may be because the Trump account was suspended and people under there were suspended, and that could lead to something like that. But that stuff isn't, yeah, that stuff isn't actually real, where people are seeing, you know, all this drop off and other people are getting gains. For the most part, people are not going to notice a difference, except for the fact that his voice is not there. But that doesn't change the fact that other voices that are still, you know, loyal to Trump are still on the platform. That's an interesting part as well.
Scott, I spent some time somewhere I never thought I would. I was put in Twitter jail last week.
Oh, how did that happen?
So, and this is fascinating. It taught me a lot about how the process works. So just for 12 hours. So what happened was, is the president on Wednesday gave that speech outside, the recorded message, where he said that he talked about fraud a little bit more. And then he told his followers to go home. Right. And Twitter flagged that one. They said it was violent or was promoting violence or could promote violence. Well, anyways, I had taken this little snippet of it and cut it on my own 5 or 6 seconds of it, talking about going home. I made some joke about leaving a bartender wanting you to leave. It had nothing to do with the election. It had nothing to do with it. I was just trying to be funny. But they put me in jail, and I think they put everybody in jail that even took a little bit of that video and posted it. And, you know, it bothered me at first, but I guess what they were trying to do is they have mechanisms to search and eradicate whatever they do not want on there.
That is very true. The minute that I asked you what happened and you started to explain it, I knew exactly what you were going to say at that point, because yes, that is exactly what happens. They know that there are pieces of this video being distributed. When they say they don't want the video being distributed, they mean they don't want the video being distributed. They're not necessarily even looking at the context of it, where you did a little piece to make it look like a joke. They don't know that. They just know that it's a piece of that. I actually know 3 other people who had the same thing happen. The one thing that I try to do when it comes to circumventing that thing, and I'm not saying there's a way to really circumvent it, but I tend to, like, for example, when Donald Trump was on Twitter, I absolutely refused to hit the retweet button because I didn't want to give him the megaphone that I have to, that, not that it's anything like his, to be able to, you know, get stuff out there. So I take a screenshot of what his tweet would be and I would put the screenshot up there. So you can't really do the same thing with the video, but that's what a lot of people do. And I think what is happening is Twitter, knowing that there are so many people out there right now that are trying to stand in for Donald Trump, they're trying to really make sure that there are ways to make sure that what you did doesn't happen, even if you meant it in the most, you know, non-threatening way.
By the way, the news coming up next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Yeah, when I was in Twitter jail, I cannot even count the number of times that just instinctually my thumb hit the Twitter app to check what was happening in the world. I mean, this was the day after then when it happened at the Capitol, so still so much information coming. And it did momentarily teach me for a bit, boy, we are as addicted as can be to the apps that we're addicted to.
I have been, John, I have been using Twitter since 2007, and I am so hooked on Twitter that Apple now has a thing called Screen Time, where you can actually set a limit for how long you could use an app, and if you use it for too long, it tells you. And I tried to do it just for fun to see if I can do it. I set an alarm for 4 hours, so it would tell me not to use it after 4 hours in a day. And as soon as it came up and it said, your Twitter time limit is coming up, I erased it, and I said, no, there's no way in the world I'm going to be able to stick to this, and now I'm back to where I was. So I'm with you. There's just no way in the world to stop using it. We are just, we're a product of those things. Those things are now a part of us.
I imagine as this continues on and the storyline continues, especially with Parler down, there's going to be this tug and pull for a lot of conservative voices where they want to have the megaphone of Twitter and still use it, while at the same time decrying exactly what they're doing. That's a tough road to walk for some conservative leaders.
It is a very, very tough road. I think what you're going to see is, I think you're going to see those people move on to whatever comes after Parler. I think that is, it goes without saying. I think the people who are still on Twitter, there are still a lot of accounts on Twitter that are saying things that you could argue are worse than what Donald Trump was saying. I think Twitter is working to get those people off, but I don't think it's going to happen immediately. So I think what you're going to see is, you're going to see bigger names all of a sudden start to come down, or bigger accounts start to come down. And just this rapid fire spreading in the next 10 days of, you know, we got one account, now we have to do others. And it's just going to be this never ending, I hate to call it a game, but a never ending game.
It's really interesting, the ramifications beyond social media, but the digital connection that all these companies have. NBC News reporting that Stripe payment processor boots Trump campaign after the riot of the Capitol. So even the mechanisms in which people can donate to campaigns, they're feeling the pressure to take it away. And that, I mean, this has a deep web to it, no pun intended, about how many things are connected here.
It's how many things are connected by technology, but it's also how many things are connected by word of mouth. The Parler CEO came out yesterday and said that after Google and Apple and Amazon made their choices, you know, their lawyers, you know, their text messaging services, all these different people, they hear these things happening and they're like, oh, we don't want to be involved with these people because this is happening. So you have both the technology and you have the whole, this is going to ruin our business if we're still a part of it. We're going to have people, you know, just against us because of our association with them. So you have two things that play there that are really, really big in this particular situation.
Got about 30 seconds left, Scott. What are you looking for this week in the world of social media?
I think it is going to be a loud week with a lot of people complaining back and forth about all of these bans. I think you're going to see a new site. I don't know where it is yet for these conservative voices, and it's going to be a race against, can they stay? Are they going to go? It is going to be a fascinating next 10 days.
Yes, that's to be sure leading up to the inauguration of Joe Biden. Scott Kleinberg, thanks so much for joining us. Where can people follow you at, Scott?
You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Scott Kleinberg, and I love to answer questions. Send me a message. Happy to help you out.
I'd give out your Parler account, but they don't have one. They don't know Parler anymore.
No way.
Thanks, Scott. Take care. All right.
You too, John. Thank you.